In Florida, you'll find the environment to inspire what's inconceivable, the chance to explore what's inexplicable, and the space to accomplish what's unimaginable. You'll no longer have to wait for the future. You can harness it. Florida, the future is here.
Everything you need to know about Google's big Pixel event, better known as Google Hardware 2016, we're taking a deep dive. Come on in.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello and welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. And in San Francisco, Google was hard at work unveiling a slew of new products and services. The highly anticipated big event on Tuesday highlighted everything from the new Pixel phones. These are sleek new devices focused on the pure Google experience and a challenge to the iPhone, perhaps, as well as new forays into the virtual reality world and the artificial intelligence realm. Also, Google Home, which is essentially an answer to the Amazon Alexa, made a big splash at the event. Let's not waste any more time and get right to the details. Joining us now is tech reporter for the Wall Street Journal, Tim Higgins. Welcome back, Tim.
Thank you.
So, Tim, big unveiling from Google. Everyone's talking about the Pixel and the Pixel XL. What was your first impression?
Yeah, really an attempt to take on Apple and the iPhone 7 and to play at that higher end of the smartphone market.
Very good. And does it deliver? Do you see it as a viable comparison?
Well, Google talked a lot about the capabilities of the camera, saying it was the best ever, and its quick charging ability, saying that you can get 7 hours of battery life from just charging for 15 minutes, which sounds pretty incredible. Mm. But the question will be, is it good enough to be swaying people away from the Apple iPhone or even some of the other phones made by people that also use Android software, which is the Google operating system? That's still yet to be determined. Some analysts that I have talked to don't think that's the case, but would say that it's important for Google to be at least playing in that high end of the market, not to cede it to a company like Apple, which tends to do better at the high end.
And, you know, everyone's talking about the AI smart assistant. Now, this will be used with these devices, correct?
Yeah, you know, we really saw today an interesting kind of strategy more detailed by Google. Anyway, I mean, we're talking about about hardware with the phones and a device called Home, but really some of the guts of how they see the world changing is through artificial intelligence, software that allows a user to essentially, instead of Googling for information, talking to one of its devices and saying, you know, okay, Google, here's what I need, such as, you know, can I get an Uber someplace, or where should I have dinner, or okay, Google, I've spilt wine on the floor, on the carpet, how should I get this stain cleaned out? And so the kind of information that we'd all kind of turn to the online world in the past, they're essentially trying to make it easier for you to tap into that knowledge and that all that data, but through a more conversational way.
Now, you mentioned the Google Home AI speaker. Google seems to really be taking on competitors here. How does it compare to the Amazon Echo?
Yeah, you know, I think that the Amazon Echo really surprised a lot of people with its success. Really, the idea that you'd have this little device most likely in your kitchen and say, you know, ask it questions or ask it to perform tasks such as turning on music and that sort of thing. And in some ways, that's an existential threat to Google's business, which is primarily advertising.
Right.
And either that is delivering an audience to advertisers or collecting an audience through its search functions and such like that. And so if Amazon's Echo speaker, which uses a system called Alexa, if that becomes the de facto way of like looking up information, then that's really a danger to Google's world. And so it's created this speaker. It's very similar, essentially, to Amazon's product. It's cheaper, and Google would argue that its experience in AI, its vast reach with data, makes it just better. And it also wanted to highlight today how the essentially tapping into this system, this digital assistant, if you will be more conversational, that its speech recognition is just more advanced in a way that will make it a little bit more friendly and a little bit more kind of user intuitive.
I see. And in crossing out all of these bullet points on, you know, keeping up with all the latest in tech, there's also a $79 Daydream VR headset and controller introduced. What were your initial thoughts as far as the presentation there?
Well, one of the things that people are looking for today was kind of some details about Daydream, which is Google's virtual reality platform. And so they unveiled a new headset that they say will use some more softer materials and make it lighter and a little bit more comfortable to use. And that has been one of the criticisms of headsets out there, is that they're just too heavy and uncomfortable. And so we'll see if that helps it. There is a lot of interest in these kind of platforms for entertainment and for gaming.
Sure.
And Google really highlighted the fact that, you know, its platforms will be integrated with that, whether it's movies or Earthview or YouTube, and highlighted some of the partnerships it has with other content providers, because that's going to be the key to driving usage, is having cool things on there.
Absolutely. I don't want to leave anything out. I know there was a lot. The Google Wi-Fi routers, and apparently can really boost connectivity in large homes. What's the story there?
Yeah, essentially routers, there's always those kind of dead spots in your house, and they're looking to kind of create a system that would help home users just have better access. I mean, you see it also through the home device, which these wireless speakers, which they envision could also be in multiple rooms and coordinated, so that you, if you're in one room and the speaker hears you there, that it'll coordinate with that one, and not all of them will respond to you. And the idea is essentially Google is creating this world where you can kind of access it in your normal life anywhere you are, whether it's talking into your Pixel phone or to your home speaker, or all these potential touch points that they just want to be there and top of mind.
We're going to take a quick pause. Up next, a look at how all of these devices stack up to the competition, coming up.
WSJ Podcasts, now available on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and the Google Play Music app.
And we're back talking to the Wall Street Journal's Tim Higgins on all things Google Pixel event. So, Tim, it seems like Google came ready to take on the competition with this rollout. From what you can tell, does it now have better footing in this tech race? Did this shake things up a little bit, do you think?
Well, in some ways, this builds upon some of the strengths that Google have had for a while. They've had some voice search capabilities. They clearly have had traditional search. They've had, the ability to help schedule things with calendars and Google Maps and stuff like that. And what they're trying to do is create a product that's identifiable, that helps investors and customers know that, hey, Google is playing in the same space as its competitors, that it is not behind in the AI arms race. And so if they are successful in creating this brand, that will definitely help kind of unify their vision of the world.
Very good. We shall see. Tim Higgins, thank you as always.
Thank you.
Once again, we've been speaking to the Wall Street Journal's Tim Higgins. For more, there is plenty to read at WSJD.com on the event, so you want to make sure you check that out. That'll wrap up the tech news briefing for right now. For the Wall Street Journal, I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.